the spring, I do a Hope Kit packing party, and a Hope Kit is gifted to a woman when she is just diagnosed with breast cancer, and her emotions and her sadness and the plight of her journey to come are just at its height, that I want to be able to gift her with hugs and hope and a gift bag with big full-size products to say, hey, someone in the community cares about you and we love you and we are here to cheer you on in your fight, and you are going to get through this.
What a raw and real time that you're entering her life. Welcome to Unscripted Pivots. I'm your host, Danielle Sproles. Today, I am thrilled to introduce you to a true luminary, Darlene Quinn, whose journey weaves together the realms of technology, philanthropy, art, and the dazzling world of modeling. Darlene's trajectory from an executive vice president in the tech industry to a devoted philanthropist and celebrated artist is nothing short of remarkable. Her commitment to service has earned her the prestigious President Lifetime Achievement Award, highlighting her vast contributions to a host of charitable endeavors. But Darlene's talents, they don't just end there. She's also a standout in the modeling world, with a career spanning over three decades that include magazine covers, TV appearances, and the iconic runway of New York Fashion Week. Crowned Classic International Woman of 2018 and also Miss International of 2021, her grace and presence have captivated audiences worldwide, making her a role model in every sense of the word. A figure of resilience, creativity, and boundless generosity, Darlene's multifaceted life serves as an inspiration for those seeking to make an impact in their own world. Join us as we dive into the stories behind her remarkable achievements and the lessons learned along the way. Darlene, it's an honor to have you on Unscripted Pivots.
It's my honor as well. Thank you so much for having me and asking me to participate in your cool program.
No, I just, you know what? You are like the ideal guest on this podcast. I mean, this podcast stands for inspiring stories, right? From women that flourish. And I play on the WTF word, meaning that there's so many pivots in life and there's so many things that happen along the way. And you are just absolutely amazing. I've only gotten to know you recently since I moved to California. And every time I turn around, there you are. And when I mean there you are, I recently wanted to get into pottery and there you are. So let's just dive into all of it. But yeah, I also want to mention to our listeners, as remarkable and as multifaceted as Darlene is, she will tell you, despite her professional accomplishments, or I should say in addition to, her most biggest blessing, she'll tell you, is being married to her husband, Jack, for 30 years. And she has two wonderful adult children and she's got a grandbaby on the way. So she's a mom and she's a wife and she just covers it all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I wanted to just kick off the reason that I involve myself as so much is that I'm a yes person. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, their movie with Jim Carrey, The Yes Man.
Yes.
And when I turned, I'm 55 now. And when I turned 50, I said, you know what? I'm going to say yes to life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say yes to every opportunity that comes my way. Because with that yes, I learn a little bit more about myself. I learn a little bit more about the thing that I said yes to. And, mm-hmm. and guess what? I might accelerate and excel and shine in that area. And what the heck? I might have this wild, interesting, incredible, adventurous life as a part of just saying yes.
What a positive growth mindset. That's wonderful. I have a question for you right out of the gate because, you know, in preparation for this podcast conversation, you know, you sent me your bio and my first thought was, tech? She went to college and she was doing tech, and because tech is really a male-dominated field today, but back then it was. So tell the ladies a little bit about why you chose tech and Pepperdine University.
Okay, so Pepperdine University, you can't go wrong with Malibu.
No, you can't.
And I've always loved the ocean and the beach, and there are so many great academic institutions. And California, actually, when I was preparing my two children to go to college and we were doing the college tour, it shined again. Mm. California has really great universities. But my actual forte is in sales, marketing, business development. And my business degree from Pepperdine, it has that marketing emphasis. And so when I was coming up in my career, I, with my little hyperactivity component and the energy factor.
You have energy.
I resonated towards tech because it's a fast-paced industry. It's always evolving. It's always changing. And there's always something new and exciting to be involved in. It's just the transformation and the progression of tech. So that's why I chose the industry, because it's fast-paced and I could be involved in the coolest, upcoming, mm-hmm. innovative, next generation of products before the consumer even sees them. So it's been a cool ride. And yes, tech is a little bit of a boys' club. And so I had to develop just that, not a hard shell, but a way of resilience and not letting things get to me, mm-hmm. and not taking no for an answer, and always trying to get, you know, that energy to the next level. So you're right. It is, but I loved it. So exciting that the company that I worked for focused on a military, aerospace, defense, government contracts. And so to be involved in some 007.
it's sexy, right?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay.
So in even watching the most recent Top Gun, I was involved in projects that you saw on that screen. So Meggitt Defense, for example, builds the tow lines and launch systems for aircraft off naval vessels, and to be involved in the electronics and the build of those products. And then that stealth bomber for our company to have built the components that are in the cockpit of that stealth bomber. It was a magnificent, interesting, extraordinary ride with the 28 year career I had with that company.
And you really, I mean, you had some access to some secretive information. So that's wonderful. But was any of the things that you were exposed to during your time in tech, and especially associated with like homeland security or things along those lines, did you ever get frightened? I often wonder, like, the people behind the scenes, what they know may scare them. I mean, was there ever a time where you said, why do we need this new product? Or what are we combating? What did that look like for you?
Actually, no, I never had fear. Mm-hmm. I only had excitement to be involved in our country's safety and security. Yeah. So I was like, let's go.
Okay, I love that. So you did that for 28 years, but you weren't just doing that in a vacuum, because you also have a very illustrious, very long time, still present experience in modeling. And so I'm trying to wrap my head, because I know you more as a model and a philanthropist. You know, I would tell you that I know you more for your charitable endeavors, and you're beautiful. You're beautiful inside and out. You radiate like gifts of service and inclusion. And it's really what is remarkable about you is that you are probably one of the most beautiful women that I've met in person, but you exude warmth. And a lot of times when women are as physically blessed as you are, Darlene, they can look off-putting, or you feel that you can't really approach them. And there is nothing about your energy that would suggest that. So you really are in a class of your own.
Oh, thank you. I'm a Midwest girl. I was born in Chicago. My family lived in Southern Illinois, then Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And that down-home, neighborly, down-to-earth core is inside me. I'm a Midwest girl, and I think that has added to my humbleness. I was raised in a family where we focused on the inside, not the outside. Mm-hmm. And when you're learning as a 12-year-old coming up into middle school, we give back to community, and that was guided by my father. And it started at church, and just to focus on the inside and being a great person. Mm-hmm. And then if you can shine in other ways, then that's That's super cool too.
So, you know, that's just a good point, Darlene, because our foundation often is where we get our start, right? And a lot of people aren't as fortunate as you. I also was very fortunate in that regard. And so that's a big blessing. But sometimes you have to work against what you were taught or what you learned or what you were exposed to. But now this really makes sense as to why your life unfolded the way it did. So you were doing the tech industry and you were doing marketing and sales for them for a very long time. I know that you had a team that reported to you. And so you were very successful. But how did the modeling begin? I mean, did your mom just take a look at you and say, okay, we've got a winner here? Like, how did that happen?
No, actually, no. My mom, like, as I mentioned about my family background, she was very into taking me to museums and libraries and let's feed that intellectual self. Mm-hmm. So I discovered kind of stumbling into modeling on my own because when I went off to college, then you're sort of, your world expands.
Sure.
And so your first is your academic career, mm-hmm. but then your second, I had a little for pocket change. I had retail jobs along the way. And it just so happened that because of that exposure of people coming in and out of a retail shop, I was approached by stores in the mall. Hey, would you like to be in our ad campaign? Or it was at Fashion Island. Actually, I was in the Fashion Island Christmas catalog one season when I worked at Fashion Island. And there was a client that I had that he happened to be a photographer and he was building his book. And so it's just sort of like the people that you meet and the things that you come in front of you and the experience in one thing leads to another and leads to another. And pretty soon in that getting to know the other retailers, I was pretty soon doing their fashion shows, walking their fashion shows. And
it sounds like just like an organic recruitment of sorts,
yes.
Right? You were in the right place and you have the right attributes to be invited into that world. And you still are in that world. tell the listeners all about, you know, what this has been like, the pageants that you've won, the journey along the way, because what really kind of fascinates me, Darlene, is that considering who you are as a woman, and we just highlighted that, right? You know, how you are very down to earth, you lead with humility and service, and you're in a world that some that are less familiar might think that's a world of plastic, right? Think about it. So
yeah.
tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so first of all, in the modeling world, most of my work is doing charity fashion shows. And because I'm a tall, skinny kid, I can fit in a sample size still.
You're so lucky.
I can still, so I have the women's auxiliary for the Westlake charity fashion show coming up. I just walked the Paradise Valley Women's Association charity fashion show. So a lot of the work that I do in modeling still is in that charity world. And so there is beautiful segments of the modeling world that are not plastic. It's more like giving back to community. I've also gotten into, as I've evolved as a model, into acting. So I have my SAG card now, and I have an agent in that union arena. So now I'm also doing commercials. And to be cast in commercials where it's for healthcare or it's for a charitable cause or something that's good for the body and good for the soul, that's been rewarding too. So, but pageants, it's actually the polar opposite of plastic. I know when we see the televised pageants, mm-hmm. we think, oh, it's just about beauty and glamour and putting on that evening gown. But what you don't see is how that pageant girl has prepared for that pageant, as well as what happens during pageant week before that stage show. And there's always, always a charity component. Every pageant girl has a platform that elevates them in giving back to community. All pageant girls have a great, deep care for community and a want to be a better person and to make society a better place.
I couldn't agree with you more, Darlene. I'm like really speaking as a woman that has seen this whole process evolved. And again, I'm an outsider. I'm not behind the scenes or whatever. I can remember being a young girl, and like we're talking like in the late 70s and 80s, right? Where it appeared more to be about, you know, Miss America and beauty and perfection and exposure. And I even mean physical exposure. It was like, you know, how sexy are you in a bikini? How well can you walk? And a lot of them at the time didn't really seem to be as, you know, intelligent on the inside as you know, you would see today. And the way that it has evolved, and again, I'm speaking from an outsider, not an insider. You know all about what goes on there. And yes, we're going to talk about your charitable endeavors in a second, because they're astounding is what they are. But women today are more respected in this process. Like as a viewer, as somebody who's turning on the TV and just taking it all in, I celebrate the recognition that we are much more than one color, one size, one type of woman. And it is just, you know, the evolution of it, just again, as somebody who watches it, has really been remarkable. And it gives me hope, okay? Because yes. It wasn't like that 30 years ago, or at least it didn't look like that on TV.
It's interesting because both modeling and pageantry has become more inclusive. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the over the last 5 years, the ad campaigns, and even the stature of a mannequin in a store.
Oh, sure.
It has become inclusive of girls with beautiful curves, of girls of all ethnicities, women and men of all backgrounds. And it's a beautiful thing to include and acknowledge every type of beauty. And then also in the pageant world, you now see there are women that are beautiful and curvy and vivacious that are winning pageants as well. Because as I know, I touched on it a little bit, pageants look actually more than on the outside, they look on the inside. And here's an example. I am actually going to be participating in another pageant coming up, and it's end of August in Long Beach on the Queen Mary, and it's Women of Achievement. And that
wow.
name alone says that whoever is participating and whoever is crowned is highly achieved, because the scoring for the judging is actually very minimally on that evening gown and stage beauty presence and that fitness wear or swim, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. But actually the most of it is what happens before that stage. And there is a judging on platform and charity work and what level that you've dug into and given back to community. It's a giant score. It's about a fourth of your entire score.
Let's get into it. You literally, okay, not only did we highlight that, you know, the award that you got for your charitable work, but you give about, what, 850 hours annually of your time. There must be two of you, Darlene. I know that you said that you're the yes girl, but all honestly, I don't know how you do it. Let's highlight that, because that's really how I got to know you in Orange County, because you're always gratuitously hosting things around the organizations that you support. And even with that, I want you to tell the listeners about your ceramic studio. And you're also an artist. I mean, you've been featured in galleries and whatnot, but you've also taught needy children, you know, 3D mm-hmm. art and things like that. You know, you take all of your passion and your life's work and you give it away for good. When I say give it away, like that's time, energy, resources, whether it's financial or otherwise. You're a woman of service. It's who you are at your core. That's what you're always saying yes to.
Yes, you're right. Here's the so I think a little nugget about why I am this way is, again, going back to how I was raised. Mm-hmm. My father promoted giving back to community. And fast forward today, he has also continued to give back to community. He just a few years back received the Minuteman Award, which is bestowed on a U.S. citizen by the National Guard for a citizen who shows exemplary levels, long-term, exemplary high levels of service to community. And so I am cut from the same cloth, and I am my father's girl.
Oh,
I
yes.
grew up really, I, you know, and when I was in middle school and I started giving back to community in my church, I adored Mother Teresa, and I adored her missionary work, and that every step she took, she thought about someone else. And I actually envisioned myself becoming a missionary and going to third world countries or the downtrodden areas of the world to give back and to elevate and to uplift. I didn't become a missionary in other countries, but I can take that and I can be a missionary in my own neighborhood and in my own community. And so, yes, it's in the not only biblical, but also seen in other avenues that when we have gifts, we take them and we see how we can give them. And that the best way to utilize your gifts is to give them away.
Yes.
And so that's what I do every day. I think about what are my talents? How can I give back with that? And what can I do to make someone else's life a little bit more joyful? So growing up, I didn't play any sports. I gravitated towards the arts and I was always in the art room.
Mm.
I also, growing up, moved 9 times in 3 different states. Different cities, top to bottom in those states. I wasn't a military brat, but my dad just in elevating his career was made, you know, his career advancement. And so I was always the new kid.
That's not easy when you're growing up. That's not easy.
I was a new kid. I also have a learning disability and then, which is ADD. Mm-hmm. Hyperactive and makes so that energy is
I think I have that too. I'm not diagnosed yet.
And so I always felt a little bit like new and awkward and less than. And so what I did is I found solace in the art room. And art became sort of therapeutic to me in tough spots of my life. And so in knowing that, I then reached out to my local high school, always having come up in the arts and had studied at the De Young Art Museum, at Academy of Art University, always had my hand on art. Although I have a business degree, my electives, I also always chose art class. So then also in my off hours was always in that room. So coming up with that education, whether it's on the side or primary, mm-hmm. I wanted to give back. So I approached my local high school who had a beautiful ceramics and pottery and 3D art department, but it wasn't well utilized. And so I paired getting in that classroom through, of course, all of the necessary bells and whistles that you have to go through to be one-on-one with a student. I paired that with their special needs department and I volunteer taught 2 class periods a day with their special needs department. And these were, let's say, autistic kids, mm-hmm. learning disabled kids, Down syndrome, could be wheelchair bound or handicapped. And I knew that this is a part of my life that has come full circle. I'm going to get to.
Yeah, I can see you getting emotional.
What I needed growing up, there was now giving to kids who felt different or less than or challenged, and that I could be their shoulder, their ear, I could be their hand in helping them to have accomplishments and to set goals and to create something beautiful. And that touchy-feely art therapy, oh heck, we could all use a little bit of art therapy.
Absolutely. I mean, what I'm celebrating in my heart right now listening to you is, you know, channeling challenges, right? It could go one of a couple of different ways. It can go for everybody. She's wiping her tears because this really was... No, it was emotionally provoking. And, you know, that really just shows your sense of empathy and sincerity in the work that you do, Darlene, mm-hmm. right? So I can see that you're visibly moved and I'm moved as well just by your journey and all that you give back. But, you know, when it comes to channeling challenges, right? I mean, what an important message on so many levels because, you know, I don't want to really use the word handicapped so much as, you know, just a little bit different, but just challenged would cover the vast array of things from, you know, maybe ADD, maybe dyslexia, maybe physical compromises, whatever it is. Instead of like crawling under a rock or otherwise not taking care of yourself, art is such a good medium to be able to you know, mm-hmm. put that energy and to create a self flow of like expression. And joy, right? And joy. And so it is mm-hmm. really, it's awesome that you do that. And you have a studio in Laguna, I believe, right? You know, a ceramic studio.
Actually, I moved it recently. It's in Costa Mesa now. Rent's a little bit better.
Oh, right. Yeah, the prices in California are no joke.
So I was practicing for many years. So I had a career going on. And so when I would find time to do that in sort of evenings and weekends, I would practice my craft in multi-artist studios or community studios. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you sign up at a collegiate level, even though I've gone through that, you can participate in the classroom environment and always, always learn. But when I decided I'm going to get my own studio was during COVID, because all of those community art classrooms, fine art classrooms closed, and I didn't want to stop my art, personal art therapy, and then also my creating and the beauty that comes from that. So I bit the bullet. I rented a space, bought the equipment, and I now have my own art studio. So it's really cool because then there I can host free children's art workshops or the big kids. So I've had friends come over and I've done, you know, free workshops with them. Mm-hmm. And we just have a laugh and a ball and a heck of a time in creating art and playing. So it's a ceramics and pottery clay studio. So we get to play in the mud.
I know. Well, I was, you know, at your home for probably, and you're always doing the charitable thing. We just cooked salmon too at that. You're always putting together great things. Like, oh, Darlene's like, hey, let's all get together for a cooking class. And then, you know, that was something that was like on my to-do list. You know, it's around the corner, but I never did. You launch the things that are inside a lot of women's hearts and brains and plans, and then you say, we're going to do it. So I love that you being a yes girl helps us all be a yes girl. And let's talk a little bit about the different charitable organizations. You know, looking at your bio, I see that you do, you know, Miracle for Kids, the National Breast Cancer Foundation, which I know is something that you are very, very prominent with, and the Orangewood for Foster Youth. Veteran causes, you know, feeding the starving children. You have so many things, the food banks, Operation Christmas Child, Empty Bowl Campaign. I mean, let's just touch on those things for a minute because those are many. And I know that when you're a yes person such as yourself, when organizations and causes recognize that, you could almost be eaten up alive, right? Because their needs are real. And, you know, the volunteer world can become somewhat demanding, and you do have a robust schedule. You have a marriage and you have children and you have a grandparent. And then, you know, I think you visit your dad, and please let's talk about that karaoke in the car moment in a second. I just have to. Okay. So I'm all over the place because my heart is just like leaping with joy talking to you. Yeah. So just touch a moment, Darlene. Like, how would you tell somebody who wants to become a little bit more philanthropic, like where they could like narrow down where they would put their time and energy if it were, you know, something that they wanted to explore?
Yes. So it's essentially about keeping your eyes and your ears open and being so aware of what's happening around you, because there are so many societal needs. And most of the organizations, I'm going to say 99%, I have a direct experience with, where then I can turn lemons into lemonade. Mm. And here's why I say that I have picked out certain parts of my life, and then I have done the Google searching or the internet researching to find out what organizations are in that pocket. So I am one of 50 women in the U.S. to be an official ambassador for the National Breast Cancer Foundation.
Wow.
I had two close family members who went through really horror in their breast cancer journey. One thankfully survived and one unfortunately perished. And so because I was so touched and saddened by the impact personally of that, I had a drive and an inner voice to say, I need to give back. So I researched several organizations. I really like the National Breast Cancer Foundation because the higher percentage of your donations go out to the person in need, which I, as a part of my evaluation too, they do wonderful work in the breast cancer arena. I do two big events a year, and in October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I do bingo for boobies, and we have some fun with it, and we raise money.
Bingo for boobies. Hold on. I love this. Okay. Yeah, perfect.
And then in the spring, I do a Hope Kit packing party, and a hope kit is gifted to a woman when she is just diagnosed with breast cancer, and her emotions and her sadness and the plight of her journey to come are just at its height, that I want to be able to gift her with hugs and hope and a gift bag with big full-size products to say, hey, someone in the community cares about you and we love you and we are here to cheer you on in your fight, and you are going to get through this.
Let me ask you a question about this, okay? Because obviously, I mean, like, let's, like, my eyes close and I take myself there thinking, what a raw and real time that you're entering her life, you know, the woman who is, you know, just recently diagnosed and obviously has to have some level of fear, even if she has immense faith, right? Because it's the unknowns. But Darlene, how do you find out, or does the organization give you a list of those women? Are these women that you're reaching locally, just maybe in the state of California, or is it national? What does that look like?
It's both. Because of my connection with the National Breast Cancer Foundation and their network, there have been years where I'm shipped like 25 UPS mailing labels for people, women all across the country, and I will pack a bag, put it in a box, seal it, ship it to someone in their network. And I can always tap into that, and they can ship me UPS, prepaid UPS mm-hmm. labels to do just that. I also have connected with my local breast cancer center. So Hoag Breast Cancer Center right here in Newport Beach is my local recipient. And then also, if I hear of a woman, whether it's on social media or through my networking or through my friend group, a woman who's just diagnosed, I will go out, I will procure, I will put together, and I will ship or put on her doorstep one of these hope kits. And there's a list of items in that bag or box that is recommended by the National Breast Cancer Foundation as deemed very helpful in her journey. So it could be post-radiation burn cream, a warm blanket, mm-hmm. cozy socks. It's a head turban for hair loss. There are things on the list that are, that she's going to need.
And I know that you recently hosted that because that was your spring, and I was, and thank you for inviting me to participate. And I don't want to say unfortunately, I mean, I'm very blessed to have my son here from the East Coast visiting for a very short time. So I was unable to participate, but you certainly keep me on your list when you do these things, because really, you know what? It's so funny. What occurs to me, Darlene, is that not only are you giving back to those women and just the organizations that you are charitable across the board, but you're also, you're giving the other people in your community the opportunity to give back. So, I mean, this is just like so many levels of service, because you're not just serving the organization. You then put the word out and we all get a chance that we otherwise may not have been on our radar. And then to be doing it in community, how elevating is that?
I love that element about kind of spreading the good word mm-hmm. and spreading the good news about how we can help someone else. And then you're right, coming together in fellowship and community. Mm-hmm. And although the cause is sad, we can be joyful in the process of giving back. And so I love creating events and ways to come together. And so, and I think it brings joy to us, to a situation.
Yeah, not to diminish the weight of this part of the conversation. And it really is beautiful and it's steep, but it goes back to your foundation, which goes back to your dad. And I have to ask you, because we are connected on social media, and I did see you with your dad in the back of some car, and you were doing car karaoke. And I was just like, this is the best. I'm like, let me tell you, Darlene is fun with a capital F. Okay. So not only is she philanthropic, and that's a P, even though it sounds like an F, people, I know how to spell. She is fun. And I, you know, pull up my social media and there's Darlene and she's singing in the back. And I thought, you know, what a testament to the relationship that you have with your father. Yeah. And what a beautiful gift to be able to like play with him like that, like just to have a good time. It was such a heart. Tell me a little bit more about your dad.
Oh, so as I mentioned, my dad cares very much for community. With that, he gives back to the National Ability Center for Handicapped. He gives back to the National Guard. He gives back to children who are in need of resources to get a private education they wouldn't normally be able to get to be able to elevate themselves. He, as well as I, find ways in community to give back. He's a good, he has a golden soul and just this precious heart, but also he's extraordinarily hard working. He's a restaurateur, and he is one of the largest franchisees in the Del Taco system. So he has 38 restaurants in the state of Utah.
Wow.
On 80, he is so passionate about his organization. With almost 900 employees, he is so kind to his employees. He goes way out of his way to make each and every employee feel special and an integral part of his organization. He is one of the most beautiful, hardworking, precious.
I'm going to make her cry again. She's tearing up.
That I've ever met. And he's my true and sincere mentor because I just want to be like him.
You are like him. And you know, this brings up an important point too. Let's talk a little bit about ageism. There's your dad. You're saying he's in his 80s and he's still being of service. He hasn't kicked back. He's, you know, probably financially like secure, doesn't need to be doing this. And yet he sees that his life still has a purpose and it propels him forward. Right. And so we don't have to age out of those things.
The reason he stays at his age in his career is because, and he says, you know what I love the best about the industry I'm in is that I get to serve people. And you can, I mean, obviously in the restaurant business, that you're getting to serve people.
That's
he said,
demanding.
I get to treat the guest and I get to serve people and I get to make a really cool place for people in my community to have a job. So he is all about service and he does that in his career. He loves to serve the guest.
Well, you know, mystery solved. I see where it all started and why you continue. And, you know, you still just emanate so much love for him and respect. And you are him. So when you say you want to be him.
I want to say about how the karaoke cab came to be. So
yes,
life, I know he's 80. Uh-huh. And life is short. Mm-hmm. And I am a person where seize the moment. You got to seize the day because you don't know what tomorrow has. And so for Christmas, for his Christmas gift, I said, Dad, you treat others. You take care of others. You took care of your family growing up and coming up in your career and coming up into your adulthood. You took good care of us. Now it's my turn. I'm going to treat you to a dad-daughter weekend. We chose Las Vegas because it kind of has all the bells and whistles.
Sure.
And we did about everything that, you know, under the sun, we're with a show and spa time and great restaurants and piano bars, singing and dancing. And so my dad is a person that at 80, he still loves to dance, sing and dance. And I think we have similar energy and that we don't
you
mind.
You think what you think, Darlene?
We really love celebrating life. Mm. And, you know, today can be your last. How are you going to spend it?
Yeah.
And so we came out of a show in Vegas and the cab pulls up. We don't know what's in store for us. It's just luck of the draw. And God puts people, places, and things in your path for a reason. We get in that cab and it had disco lights and two microphones. And I'm like, what's this?
Oh my gosh.
We had stepped ourselves, luck of the draw, into a karaoke cab. And I'm saying, Dad, we're singing. And he picked the song. He picked Proud Mary. And I didn't know the lyrics, but thank goodness the cab had, you know, the whole
They had it on. Yeah, well, it's karaoke. You're
so
supposed to have the words.
Oh my gosh. I filmed that, and that is precious, precious footage of my dad and I singing Proud Mary in Vegas in a karaoke cab, living life to its fullest, cherishing any memory that we can get together because, like I said, life is short. So we did it up.
And you're a woman of gratitude. This is really like one of the biggest things. You're a woman that is so grateful for the gifts that have been bestowed on you. And you really make it your purpose to give back and share that love and share that hope and share all the creativity and channeling those challenges through the art and the pageantry. Let's just wrap up by, what's next for you, right? You touched very quickly that you have the upcoming pageant. I believe it's in August. And what they're going to really be looking at is the contestants' ability to give back in long-term philanthropic endeavors. You know, yes, you're beautiful. And yes, on those merits, you'll win alone. But I really think you're the front runner, considering,
oh, gosh,
I mean 850 hours and the achievements and the way that you, I mean, this is you continue to go. Yeah.
The interesting thing about pageantry is that these are very, very accomplished women who have elevated themselves to the highest level possible in every regard in their life. So it's I don't see it as a competitive thing. It is competitive, but I get to be around women that I can look up to. And then I'm like, wow, look at you, girl. Oh my gosh. Look at you. Look at what you did. That I get to have these blessed sisterhood friendships with women who are just empowered and accomplished and big-hearted and beautiful on the inside. So
yes,
that's coming up. And then also I'm grandma.
But when's the baby coming? It's gonna be a girl, right?
Girl, June 6th.
Oh,
but
boy,
we're thinking maybe early. I don't know. So if it's her, you know, if the hereditary and the genetics are there, I had my two babies early, but we don't know. I am so looking forward to this. I can't wait to hold and cherish that precious new human. This is a blessing. I'm so looking forward to embracing grandmotherhood.
This is a milestone you have yet to experience. I hope
amazing.
To be on the heels of you. I have four adult children, and my oldest is going to be 33 in May. I mean, they are not babies, but nobody's married yet. And they're not in that. Although he's dating somebody very seriously, so I think that's on the horizon. And then I can't wait. I can't wait for that opportunity to hold a grandbaby and to begin the cycle in another way, right? Just to begin that newness. You have so many fascinating things that are happening in your life and that are just right around the corner. I am so blessed to know you, Darlene. I'm so happy that you are a yes girl, because in all the ways that you say yes, the ripple effect in our local community and the opportunity to participate in all your yeses has been a personal blessing to me. I'm just really, I'm in awe of you. I'm inspired. And there would have been a time that I would have told you years ago that, oh, I would have been jealous of you, not only because of the way you look, but all that you achieve. And I'm not that woman today. And the message out there to all the women is, if you see somebody that has something, the admiration and inspiration that can come from that acknowledgement is where it should be at, because nobody has all the things, right? And so we can look at Darlene and say, wow, yeah, she has so much going for her. And she gives that back. Mm-hmm. And we too can follow in her footsteps and embrace these opportunities to be a better part of our community.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've had a lot of tough spots in my life, but what have I done with it?
Yeah.
Every woman has a journey, has been through tough spots, rough spots, but then also the highs in our life. And mm-hmm. I am so glad to know you too, because I learn from you just like you learn from me. And mm-hmm. I get to be blessed with your friendship and your incredibleness as well. What I know of you, I adore and appreciate, and I look forward to knowing more about you too.
Well, you are definitely a WTF woman, and that stands for Women That Flourish. All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Darlene. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Unscripted Pivots and joining the WTF Women That Flourish community today. And when your next WTF moment hits, remember this: you are built to flourish. Please help spread the word. Share this episode, and if it inspired you, a 5-star review would mean the world to me. It's a powerful way to help us reach more people just like you. In the show notes, you will find all guest information. And if you're thinking about working with a coach, I'd love to hear from you. My website is unscriptedpivots.com. There you will find not only my calendar, but WTF highlights and resources designed to empower you. Until next time, face challenges head on, knowing you're meant to flourish through every pivot. See you soon.